Well, welcome, everybody. What a joy it is to be together to declare the goodness of God anew. Let's make this our prayer, all of our lives, all about His glory. We sing it. Oh, I want to make my life all about Your glory. I want to spend my days telling the world Your story. In everything I do, in everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise. I want to make my life all about Your honor, morning, noon, and night. The best I want to offer, everything I do, and everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise. This is our prayer. Make me an instrument, oh God. Make me an instrument, make me a song of praise, make me a shining light that radiates Your ways. Make me a masterpiece, Lord, put me on display, that I may ever be a picture of Your grace. I want to make my life all about Your glory. I want to spend my days telling the world Your story. Everything I do, everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise. I want to make my life all about Your honor, oh, morning, noon, and night. My best I want to offer, and everything I do, everything I say, to be all about Your goodness, Your kindness, Your life in me, ever reaching out Your mercy, forgiveness. That's what I want my life to be all about, Your loving, Your power, Your life in me, ever reaching out Your glory, Your honor. That's what I want my life to be all about, Your goodness, Your kindness, Your life in me, ever reaching out Your mercy, forgiveness. That's what I want my life to be all about, Your love and Your power, Your life in me, ever reaching out. We sing, this is the day, this is the day that You have made. Whatever comes, I won't complain, for all my hope is in Your name, and now Your joy, my friend. Let's give thanks together. We declare it. I give thanks for all You have done, and I will sing of Your mercy and Your love. Your love is unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. When I was down, You brought me out, and set my feet on higher ground. So here I stand, You are my God, Your faithfulness, my solid rock. I give thanks for all You have done, and I will sing of Your mercy. All the battles You have won, Your love is unfailing, in me ever reaching out. Your mercy, forgiveness, that's what I want my life to be all about. Your love, your power, your life in me ever reaching out. Make me an instrument. It's another day to be grateful for the fresh new mercies that God has given us. In fact, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And we're going to sing this great hymn of the church as we declare, as we are people of remembrance. We will remember what God has done, what he is doing, and we will be reminded what he is faithful to do. So Leah's going to sing this song for us. Great is thy faithfulness. Would you join her?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
Sing summer and winter.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature.
Declare together, great is thy faithfulness. Sing this next verse, pardon for sin.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide.
Strength for today.
Hope for
for a moment in that great truth. I want you to think, where has God been faithful? Examine your heart and your mind, even in this moment. And if you've been going through a tough season, I want to remind you, if you have breath in your lungs in this morning, this moment, God has been faithful to you. So Lord, we will remember, let us not forget that all we have needed, your hand provides again and again and again and again. We sing, great is that faithfulness. All I have needed.
And all I have needed, and thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
All I have needed.
And all I have needed, and thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
God, great is your faithfulness. God, thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness and your mercy and all of the blessings you have put in our lives. We are so, so grateful for you, God. God, we thank you for the gift of being able to worship with our Christian Assembly Church family, as well as those who are new or just joining us for the first time. God, thank you for everyone who has chosen to worship and be with us this weekend, whether they're joining our online service, if they're watching our service at home with their life group, or if they are at our outdoor in-person services. God, we are so grateful for everyone who is part of these services. Lord Jesus, we want to pray for the fires that are raging around us, God. We want to pray for the firefighters and the first responders. We want to pray your protection and your wisdom for them. We pray for those who have lost their homes, God. We pray for those who are in the evacuation areas. We just pray your comfort and your peace for them. Would you contain and put out these fires, God? And Lord, we also pray for our 21-day fast that our church has been doing together. God, I pray for each and every person who is doing this fast. I pray, God, that you would show up for us, that you would draw us closer and closer to you, that you would speak to us, and that you would change us through this fast, God. We pray all this in your great name, Jesus. Amen. Well, you guys, thank you so much for joining us in worship this weekend. We also want to say welcome to any first-time visitors and guests. Today, we are continuing our message series entitled Life with Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. It's also a Kingdom weekend, and we have the honor of hearing from one of our Kingdom mission partners. You guys, we also want to say thank you so much for your generosity and your giving. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website simply by clicking on the Give tab. And now let's continue in our service as we get to hear a Kingdom update.
Hey, church family, my name is Scott, and it's Kingdom Weekend, where we take time once a month to highlight what God is doing through our church, both locally and globally, as we follow him on mission together. This weekend, we're highlighting our Kingdom partnership with La Roca Ministries in Tijuana, Mexico, and the way they continue to serve the poor and vulnerable during this pandemic. So let's go ahead and check out this update from Carlos Montoya.
Blessings to our dear friends and family from Christian Assembly. We just miss you all and love you so much. Thank you for keeping us in your prayers and your support, especially during this critical time of need. Let me take give an update real quick as far as the things that are taking place in the ministry. The orphanage, we're so proud of our children as they have come together and just formed a worship team, especially our teenagers. They've learned to play instruments and sing, so I'm just so proud of the staff and the children who just come together as one. Chiapas and not least, we've been able to send a small team to Chiapas with Pastor Norky. We had 7 new disciples baptized there. And it's just great. Things are opening up. And before I forget, the dump. Yes, the dump where it doesn't stop for nobody or anybody or anything. And trash keeps being brought in on a daily basis. Workers are working on a daily basis. Our staff are they working on a daily basis. So thank you as they are cooking, and they're giving drinking water, bathing water to all those that come knocking on our door in time of need. And discipleship and training still is continuing there at the dump. So again, as you see everything is taking place, we thank you for keeping us in your prayers. And we hopefully, if God, will see each other soon, and so we can worship him together. Thank you and blessings.
We're so thankful to partner with La Roca in Mexico. And we've partnered with them for over 20 years now and really walked alongside them for the long haul. And, you know, we've learned so much about God's heart for the poor and marginalized there in Mexico. Through our giving, through our prayers, and through sending short-term teams, we've developed a deep friendship and mutuality in the gospel and the mission there. And so we're so thankful for all that God is doing through La Roca. You know, I recently had the opportunity to lead a team early in this year before the pandemic hit, to go down and serve at the ranch there at La Roca. And I was so encouraged by not only the way that guys were coming out of rehab, but the way that they were being raised up and empowered to be kingdom leaders in their communities. And so we're so thankful for the way that God continues to move there. You know, in addition to La Roca, our kingdom giving also goes to support all of our other local and global ministries. And we were recently able to give a $60,000 gift to Living Room International in Kipkaran, Kenya, to go and provide for medical beds and supplies there to care for the sick and vulnerable during the pandemic. So I want to say thank you so much, church, for your ongoing generosity to the Kingdom Offering. You can give online to our Kingdom Offering that goes to support all of our missional efforts. And so I'm so thankful for the way that we get to link arms in God's mission together.
Well, let me welcome all of you to this online service, to all the CA family, and to any guests who might be joining us. It is my joy, my honor, and my privilege to be with you in this way. We are, as a church, walking through the greatest words, the greatest sermon ever delivered, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, there is an unstated but an understood protocol that is to govern how people are to behave when they attend some kind of public gathering, such as you go to the theater, you go to see a play, a concert, or you gather in a context for church, for a worship service. Now, these protocols are not really written down and published, but we all know what they are. Let me give you just a couple of examples. First is be on time. Oh, this one can get very touchy. Be there on time. All of you latecomers, you give no thought to the fact that when you come late, you are unsettling those who took the time to get there on time to be prepared for the event. You crawl over the seats. You make quite a disruption. In fact, I've heard of people, instead of squeezing your legs together and leaning so that they can get to their seat, people will slouch and sit wide-legged so that people got to work and sweat for a seat. I've heard of people who do that. So be on time is one of those rules of protocol. Number two is be quiet. We all have had the experience of being in some kind of public gathering, a movie or whatever it may be, and there's a couple just close to us who are talking loud, out loud, as though they're the only ones in the entire building. Again, I've heard of people who will look over their shoulder and give the look of death. I've heard of people who do that. The third is control your kids. Don't let your kids be such a disruption that it ruins the experience for others. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa think little Junior is exquisitely adorable, while everybody else within a 20-seat radius thinks little Junior should be exquisitely exterminated. So take care of your kids. And then the fourth one is don't leave until it's over. Have enough, be courteous enough to let the event end and then to leave. Now, worship services in Jesus' day were a quite formal and liturgical. Rules for gathering were meticulously followed. If you were suddenly realized that you'd left a pot roast on at home in the oven, you just chalked that one up as a burnt offering that you'd give to the Lord. Well, it's against this backdrop that Jesus will do the unthinkable. And this is our passage for this weekend from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. And follow along as I read. You have heard, this is what you say, that the law of Moses says, do not murder. If you commit murder, then you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you even call someone an idiot, oh, we all find ourselves guilty. We should have the altar call right now. You are then in danger of being brought before the high council. And if you curse at someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are standing before the altar, if you're in a corporate gathering time, offering your worship and sacrifice to God, and suddenly you remember that somebody has something against you, there's a relational breach, then leave your sacrifice there beside the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Come to terms quickly with your enemy before it is too late and you are dragged into court, handed over to an officer and thrown in jail. I assure you that you won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. Jesus is going to do the unthinkable. He will say, when you gather from this point forward, there's one rule, there's one protocol that will govern all your corporate times. And it is packed with seeming rudeness. I don't care who you got to climb over. I don't care how loud and disruptive it is. I don't care if someone is praying, preaching, or prophesying. You make a beeline for the exit when you are aware that there is any relationship that is broken. You do whatever is required to reestablish love when love has been broken. At this point, all the rules of appropriateness are out the window. Jesus was telling them, by the way, highly offensive is his teaching. You have entirely missed God. You have entirely missed the importance that God places on human relationships. They would have never put relationship with others in the same breath as relationship with God. If they were asked, they would have said, worship is at the very pinnacle. It is at the top of our list of spiritual priorities. But friendship with another and love being maintained was not on any list at all. Jesus is giving a whole new definition of worship, of love, and community. Jesus is going to redefine what love is, and he's going to have to talk about hate and murder because these were their talking points. Jesus says, you see yourself as loving worshipers of God, as spiritual ones, because you proudly claim, you know, I've never killed anybody. Jesus tells them, you are arm weary from patting yourselves on the back. You think that you are loving and worshiping God because there's no blood stains on your hands. But I tell you, Jesus says, the truth is there is murder and blood all over the inside of you. There's no loving care in you at all. Jesus says, you know that a person loves someone by the way they talk about them. Listen, Jesus said, to your words. You have these sweeping generalities. You categorize people. You say things like, you know, all black-skinned people are like this. All white-skinned people are like this. All brown-skinned people are like this. You use words like loser, no count, worthless, no good, piece of, and you fill it in. Jesus said righteousness is not measured by your external metrics. Well, look, everybody is alive. No one is dead. Jesus said instead it is measured solely by the heart. Because in God's kingdom, hearts of love and kindness, compassion, gentleness, forgiveness, and grace are at the top of God's list. And by the way, Jesus said the most compelling evidence of all that Christianity is true is love. Jesus said your love for one another in John 13:35. Your love for one another is what proves that you are my disciples. One thing, Jesus said, only one will convince those who are unconvinced of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and that is love. See, big buildings, impressive ministries can be explained in human terms, but pure, persistent, won't give up, gracious love, that demands a divine explanation. Love for the poor, love for the different, love for the difficult, love for your enemies. Only God can make a heart that loving. So Jesus says, I want you to take drastic measures when you are aware that love is broken. So here's what Jesus says. You are in a worship service. You are socially distant, 6 feet apart. You've got your mask, your face shield. You've got your gloves. You've got your Clorox wipes. And you've got your hazmat suit on. And suddenly, and by the way, church, this is the power. You talk about being filled with the Spirit. The presence of the Spirit comes among you and makes you aware that there is a broken relationship. Jesus said at that point, all gathered rules of protocol are off the table. Go and repair that love, because this is the highest worship that you can give God. And might I add, there's even one more step to this. You cannot have a relational meltdown with a human being and go on with God as though all is well. It won't square and God won't play. If you harbor hatred in your heart, 1 John 4, but say that you love God, you are deceived. You are even more than that. You are a liar. How can you say that you love God who you can't see when you don't love those who you can see? Well, let me tell you about two boats. Both boats were exactly the same. But it was a father, a daughter, and a son in one boat, and a father and a daughter and a son in the other boat. Now, in the one boat, as they arrive, to just have a day to be together for no other reason than to fish and to enjoy each other. On this one boat, things were already tense, and the boat hadn't even gotten in the water. This son and this daughter had had quite a long history of hurts and unresolved things. And they're no more than a half hour into their day trip, and words are said, harsh words, vicious, and it begins to turn ugly. The father turns and warns the son and daughter many times. Now listen, you guys, let's not do this. Let's not ruin our day together. But sure enough, things get below the belt. And finally, the father says, "That's it. I'm done. We're through. This day is over." But both the son and the daughter appeal, "But Dad, everything is right with you. We're okay with you." But the father says, "You know what? If you're not okay with each other, then you're not okay with me." But on the second boat, there's a dad and a daughter and a son. And the moment they see each other, it's been quite a while since they've been together. The son and the daughter, they embrace. They pull in the father, and they're just hugging. There's such wonderful sweetness and emotion between them. They don't even have the boat in the water, and they're telling each other they had purchased some special little treats that each of them knew the other liked. The boat gets in the water, and there's teasing and laughter and joy and freedom. There's such tenderness as they talk about stories of the past and how they defended each other and how love had grown among them. Jesus taught that Christianity should always be seen as a family system where God the Father is at the center of the boat and brothers and sisters are all around. See, the Father has one desire, and that is that his family would relate warmly, lovingly, and graciously with one another. And when it happens, what happens on that one boat is beyond explanation. There is a life-giving, joyous atmosphere. And by the way, others see that. They sense that. They can feel that. They can taste that. And when they do, they say, "I want to be on that boat." But when love breaks down, everyone wants to jump ship. You'd rather take your chances with the sharks. You can't sing about God and his love and be on a boat where there is hostility and hatred. So Jesus adds, "I want you to take whatever drastic measures. Go and go now," Jesus said. "Go quickly. Take immediate action." Jesus teaches that relational maintaining love and repairing broken relationships, Jesus said speed is of supreme evidence. Now, the reason is simple. Because something that is very small can be resolved quickly. But you leave a thing unspoken to, and that thing can become insurmountable. It's why Paul writes in Ephesians 4, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are angry, because that anger gives way to a foothold for the devil. So reconciliation requires that you go and you go now. not to blame, not to shame. There is no magic wand, by the way, to relational repair, because every relationship is unique and complicated. Trust me, put me in any relationship and it will be described as unique and complicated. For that reason, there is no one formula that you can set on every relationship, but there are biblical principles that apply in every case. I want to share just two of them. In fact, I want to give the whole church, I want to give all of us some homework. This would be a great exercise for all of us to do together. Husbands and wives, I'd like for you to do it. I'd like for you to do it with your children. Friends, do it with one another. In fact, I was thinking of my precious grandkids this week, to Zach and Evie and Gavin. I love you guys more than I can even express. And I thought, there is one desire of your grandpa. There's one desire of your mom and dad. And it's that all the days of your life, you will love one another, that you will care for one another. Nothing will show that you love God more. So here's the homework. Rather than me giving them, I'll mention two quickly as we end. But maybe you could just explore the Bible. What are the biblical principles that we will always adhere to when love is damaged or broken? These are the things that we will do with one another. So CA and my grandkids, that's your homework. But here are two quick ones. First of all, attitude. Your attitude is everything. If you come to someone with a power-up, intimidating, self-righteous, arrogant, ready-to-preach kind of attitude, you will not only make zero progress, you will regress. Because, see, at the center of the gospel, at the heart of the message that Jesus came proclaiming, if your attitude is not gracious, then all bets are off. But see, when your attitude and your words are gentle and loving and truthful, it is the biggest bridge builder. Never try to reconcile with someone until first you have soaked your own attitude in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, is the thing that I am forever learning. This one, you never get it down, and it's just forgiveness. Forgiveness is essential. And it's not their forgiveness, but it's yours. Stop waiting for their apology, but do your part. Do the hard work that will only happen as you bring your spirit before the Holy Spirit, where you come to someone and say, look, I see where I have failed you. I am so sorry, and will you forgive me? See, is it so important that you have to be right, that you have to win? Or is it most important that you are in right relationship with others? Now, sometimes people will say no, and they'll shut the door in your face. And so read this week from Romans 12:18. Do all you can to live at peace with everyone. Now let me finish by telling you about one other boat that I saw. This was years ago, and I was back east, and I really can't even remember, it was so long ago, why I was even there. But I saw a world-class elite rowing team, and it was something to behold. And I noticed that they sat in the same direction. They had someone who was sort of at the center, a coxswain, I think is how you say it, who had a bullhorn and gave the orders. But it was something to watch as all of them rode. They were so synchronized together. It was something. And they were so sleek as they just cut through that water. Well, that's God's will, that we'll all be on the same boat, rowing in the same direction. And at the head of all of this is Jesus. He's the one we follow. He's the one that we obey. So I move, Christian Assembly, that from this point on, we take drastic measures to make sure that we obey Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, and we do whatever is necessary when love is broken. May our good God, may our good God and His Word be shaped in our hearts and our lives. Would you join me as we pray together? Our great, loving God, thank you, Lord, that you would not let our sin distance you from us. But Lord, you got up, as it were, from heaven itself and came among us so that love could be mended where we had broken and violated every rule, every law. We thank you, God, for your great love for us and how you long to work that. I pray, I open myself to your Spirit, O God. O God, make me a man who in this season of my life loves deeply, and let it be a reflection of my worship of God Almighty. We pray this as a church in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
Let's declare that blessing over one another. The Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
So we sing amen together. Keep you.
you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Thank you guys so much for being with us today online. If you recently made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, please know that we are so excited for that decision and we celebrate with you your new life in Christ. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or if you're investigating faith and want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, please let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. Don't forget to follow us and stay in the know with our CA socials and our Christian Assembly LA app. Let me close with this benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thanks, you guys, and see you next weekend.